Before we go further in the service this morning, we'd like to ask if there's is there anything upon anybody's hearts that needs to be said or done? If not, then we're going to continue with what the Lord has laid upon our hearts this morning. You know, this isn't my service, this is the Lord's service. And if there's anybody that we need to try to uplift this morning, it's the Lord Himself. And you know, if there's, and like I said, it's already been great to be in His house, but I tell you, if something else is going to get done, it's going to be us following the Spirit and leadership of the Lord. And this morning we ask for your prayers as we try to say that which the Lord has laid upon our hearts. If you would like to follow us, we're going to go out of the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. The fourth chapter of the book of Matthew and the 18th verse. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And it says, "And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And that was Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And the thought that the Lord has placed upon our hearts for this morning is, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. You know, we had just read here how Jesus was walking by the sea and how he saw Simon and Andrew. And he had told them, "I'll make you fishers of men." You know, we need to fish for men this morning. You know, I like to go fishing sometime during my free time. It's nice, it's calming, it's relaxing. Sometimes it just gets me away to where I'm just able to think. But you know, there's a whole world out there that has a bunch of fish that needs to be caught for our Lord. You know, we read after this how after he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," it said that they just straightway left their nets and followed him, meaning they immediately, without delay, immediately, they threw everything down and they followed after our Lord. And folks, I tell you, you know, this world that we live in, it's full of sin and it's full of sorrow and wickedness and worldly pleasures. And folks, we need to leave that all behind if we want to follow our Lord and become fishers of men. Now we read how Jesus, how he called his 12 disciples. He showed his disciples. He taught his disciples. Matter of fact, he preached to his disciples. And he taught them many things. Matter of fact, what I believe is that he was getting them ready for his departure. And you know, he was getting them ready for a time when he would not be with them anymore. And you know, Jesus, we know that this man performed many miracles. We know this man walked on the sea, caused the blind to see, caused the deaf to hear. But the greatest thing that Jesus has ever done was to lay down his life for a sinful world so that we can be saved. And folks, that's the man we need to tell people about. You know, we read how 1 Corinthians, or maybe 2 Corinthians, but Paul wrote to the church there and he said, we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Because there's nothing special about us. There's nothing special about us. And I'm just going to be blunt and honest with you. If you think there's something special about you this morning, think again. And I'm just being honest as I can be. You know, we came from the dirt of the earth. That's all we are. We're just lumps of dirt. But now I'm thankful today that God breathed into man's nostrils and was the breath of life and man became a living soul. With that, I believe that there's two beings to a man, the carnal being and the inward being. And I tell you what, this carnal being, it sins on a day-to-day basis. This carnal being wants to do the things of the world. But you know, Jesus isn't worried about that carnal being. He's worried about the inward man. And when he saves the inward man. Now, and I do believe that it's our job to cause salvation to flow outwardly from us, that people can see that there's a difference between God's people and the people of the world. But I tell you, the most important thing is if you know 100% beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved by the grace of God. You know, I'm thankful that the brother requested that song. I know I'm saved because I know I'm saved. And I'm glad that I know that I'm saved because it's a personal relationship between me and God. And that's how it comes with salvation. It's a personal one-on-one relationship with the sinner and God himself. You know, we read in the 16th chapter of Matthew, if you want to go there and correct me on some things, I might get this a little out of whack. But, you know, if you read in the 16th chapter of Matthew how Jesus went into his disciples at one point in time, he asked them, he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some say thou art, and they said that some say thou art Elias. Some say thou art Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist, or you're at least one of these prophets. And folks, I tell you right now, if we go out in this world and just ask some random strangers who they think Jesus is, we're more than likely going to get that same answer that they gave. But you know, Jesus, he said, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say? Who do you say?" Sinner friend, if you're here this morning and you're lost and separated from God, who do you say Jesus is? And you know, as Peter spoke up and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. No mortal man told you about this, but my Father, which is in heaven." Folks, I tell you, we don't need to tell the individual whether they're lost or saved or not. I know that's sort of elementary, but folks, I think there's some things that needs to be reiterated a little bit. We can't tell an individual they're saved by God's grace or they're lost. But I tell you what, it's up to God to tell them that. And God will show them that. Folks, it's our job as God's people to go out there fishing for men and to tell them about the greatness and the goodness of Jesus Christ. And whenever we tell them, to pray for that conviction power of God to get in their hearts. Because the sacrifices of God are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a crushed spirit. You know, and I've probably said this here before, but if you look in the Strong's Concordance of the definition of the word heart, it's going to take you to the original Hebrew definition of it.
And what it means, when it talks about heart, it says that it's where the will of man lies, the passion of man lies, and the pride of man lies. And folks, all that has to be broken before an almighty God. All that has to be crushed, especially if you're seeking for soul salvation. The biggest thing that I believe is that send people to hell. The biggest thing that I believe that lets people continue to be lost is a heart that is full of pride. That's the biggest issue. Sometimes, you know, I remember being lost, and I've told this story, but you know what? I never get tired of telling it. But you know, I remember, you know, that day in the Walmart parking lot of Lafayette, Tennessee, how my mom and dad put the van in park. They turned around and they said, "Son, are you lost?" Now, I tell you what, folks, if the Spirit of the Lord is drawing you to testify, to sing, or to tell somebody something, follow the leadership of the Lord, because you never know who it's going to affect. You know, I believe my mom and dad, they were following the leadership of the Lord. They said, "Son, are you lost?" You see, and I never thought about myself before. I never thought about where I stood with God before. And when I did, it's just like the Lord just grabbed a hold of my heart and just turned it a little bit and said, "Yes, you are separated from me." And I said, "No, I ain't lost. I lied." You know why? Because I had a heart that was full of pride. You know, because mom and daddy, they were one of the people that when they said they'll get out of the van and pray with you in the middle of Walmart parking lot, they would, and they would not be ashamed of it. And praise God for that. Amen. But you know, I had a heart that was full of pride as that 7-year-old boy, and I said, no, we're good. Because if we get out, these people are going to think we're just a bunch of crazy people out in the parking lot. But you know what? The Lord just kept knocking. He kept knocking. Folks, I tell you what, when I say we need to pray for conviction, let's pray for conviction.
Amen.
And I'm glad for the saints of old who prayed for the conviction power of God. Amen. Because I'm in a full night tonight. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't wake up and eat breakfast. I couldn't eat dinner the night before because all I was worried about was where I was going if I died lost and separated from God. And that was in a devil's hell. And I tell you what, there's two places you go to after. You go to one or two places after the man, the flesh, dies. It's heaven or hell. And I wouldn't even call hell home because it's a place of eternal torments. You know, when I think of home, I think of our little house there in Tullahoma, Tennessee, how I'm able to just go in, shut the door, lay in the recliner and relax and not have a worry about what's going on. That's what I think of home. But you see, hell is not like that. It's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That the fire is so hot. The Bible says it's where the worm dies not. We read in the 16th chapter of Luke, I believe, how there was the rich man, there was Lazarus, and the rich man lifted his eyes up in hell. And I believe that you, when you're in hell, you still have your senses. Because the rich man, he was able to feel. He was able to taste. Folks, he was thirsty. He was thirsty for a drop of water. He was able to taste. I believe that you're able to see because when the rich man looked up, he saw Lazarus there in Abraham's bosom. He saw Lazarus in glory. What a temptation and what a torment that is. And I've had people to say, "Now, brother Barber, please don't tell that to my children because they're going to get scared, folks." I hope each and every one of us is scared of that place of eternal torment, because that's not where we were meant to be. It wasn't created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels, his followers of lightness, but mankind puts himself in that place.
How so? Because when God convicts the heart, there's also a knocking there, a drawing. How does mankind put themselves there? By resisting the drawn power of God. By not being saved, by turning away from salvation. I can't save you. The deacons here can't save you. The preachers here can't save you. The members here can't save you. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ is still in the saving business today.
Yeah.
And I'm glad for that. Yep. That's why he still calls us to go fish for men. And I tell you, we read how Jesus in the 4th chapter of John, they were starting that journey, you see. But you know, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I must needs to go to Samaria. You know, they could have went several other ways, but Jesus said, I need to go to Samaria. Jesus knew why. He got there at the well and his disciples departed to go fetch some food. But he sat there at the well, and there was a woman coming to fill up her water pots. And Jesus said, can I have a drink of water? And I'm paraphrasing this. But she said, what do you, Jew, have dealings with me, a Samaritan woman? And Jesus said, well, if you knew who it was asking for you for a drink of water, you would be asking me for a drink of water. And you know, I believe Jesus got very personal with that woman. We read there in the book of John in the 4th chapter, you know, Jesus was starting to talk about her husbands. You know what she said? I don't have any husbands. You know, Jesus went back. He said, go call thy husband coming hither. Woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. Jesus knew her. Jesus got personal with her. Jesus even said that, you know, I am the water of life, and if any man drinks of me, that he won't be thirsty anymore, for there shall be a well of everlasting water springing up in him. Jesus today, I believe, is still the water of life. And he calls us to go fish for men. And you know what? That woman of Samaria, I believe she got saved that day. And you know what? She dropped her water pot. She left them there at the well. And she went back to Samaria. And she said, hold, come, behold the man. Is this not the Christ? And you know what? The Bible says that there was many people who believed her words. I believe in following the Spirit of God. You know, I tell you what, as your pastor, and I'm going to get personal with this, as your pastor, I am not a dictator. I don't tell you you should do this and you should do that. But there's one thing that I ask that we as a church should do, and that is follow the leadership of God.
Amen.
Because God knows the needs. God knows. You know, I tell you what, I don't have a sermon in my pockets. I don't have a revival in my pockets. I don't have the ingredients for a good service in my pockets. But I tell you what, God knows how to bring that about. And I tell you what, if we follow the leadership of God, we can see some great things happen.
Amen.
And you know, the woman at the well, she went back to Samaria. Bible says there is many people who believe they're saved. Folks, I tell you what, you don't have to be a preacher to go out and tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have a testimony that you need to go out and tell people about. A personal time and place personal one-on-one experience with God Himself. And I tell you what, in the book of Colossians, in the 4th chapter, I believe, Paul was getting ready to depart from that church. And he told them, he said, "Brethren, pray for us that a door of utterance would be open." Folks, we need to pray for some doors to be open for us to tell people about Jesus. We need to pray for doors to be open for us to tell people about the water of life. We need some doors to be open to tell people about how Jesus was born of a virgin woman and how He came down here and He was the perfect sacrifice, that great Lamb of God, and died and is able to wash away the sins of the world. He is still that great Lamb of God. Jesus said, "For I am the Lord and I change not." Book of Malachi says that I am the Lord and I change not. The Hebrews, in their Hebrew letter, tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I tell you what, the salvation plan of God has never changed. It never will change. It's the same. And folks, I tell you what, if you need to be, if the Lord's knocking on your heart, if you're lost and separated from Him, and folks, I tell you what, the only way you can be saved is the same way that I got saved. And that's with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, coming to the Lord, repenting of my sins and having faith. Repentance and faith. I tell you what, you know, Jesus, He got personal with people. And I love how He gets personal with people, because He got personal with me one day. And I tell you what, we read of another man, of another person that He got personal with, and that being Zacchaeus in the book of Luke, if you'd go with me there. In the book of Luke in the 19th chapter, we read how Zacchaeus heard of a man, Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was passing by one day. And I tell you what, Zacchaeus was a man that was really short of stature. How tall? I have no idea. All I can tell you is that he was really short and that he couldn't even look over the crowds of people to see Jesus. But I tell you what, there was a desire in his heart for him to see Jesus. So much so that he saw a sycamore tree. A great, big sycamore tree. And I don't know if you've ever seen a sycamore tree, if you ever tried to climb up one as a child, but I'll tell you what, they are hard to handle. And if you ever look at them, they're hard to try to grasp, you know. But you know, he had a desire to see Jesus. He had a desire to see the man that was walking by one day. And now a sycamore tree was going to stop him from seeing that. And I tell you, we go back, and Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And he said, let's just go here. 6th verse, let's go on to 5th verse. Don't want to get too ahead, but it says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, the Lord, the half of my goods give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Folks, ain't it great that the Lord's still in the saving business? He was never out of it. Ain't it great that the Lord's still in the saving business? But folks, I tell you what, let's go fishing for men. Let's go tell them about this Jesus who is here to seek and save that which is lost. He's
still doing that today.
And I'll tell you what,
Zacchaeus had a desire. Had a desire. Lost friend, sinner friend. Lord comes knocking on your heart. It's best to go on and have a desire to seek Him. Saved friend, Christian friend, brother and sister, let's have a desire to serve the Lord. That not even a sycamore tree can stop us.
Folks, I tell you, we read in the book of Acts, I want to go there for just a few moments of time, but we read in the book of Acts how the disciples, you know, this is right after Jesus ascended into heaven, and so the disciples, they were starting to go and to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But now, let me back up for a minute. In the later books of the gospel, before Jesus ascended, He gave them a great commission. To go into all the world, preaching whatsoever things I've commanded you, making disciples, baptizing them, preaching repentance for salvation. And you know, that great commission that He gave this church is the reason why that name missionary is on our door. Because we believe in having a mission mind and a mission work ethic for our Lord. And folks, I tell you, you don't have to go all the way to Ghana, Africa, just to be in the mission field. The mission field is right there at our very doorsteps. You know, there's a church there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And whenever you exit, or whenever you go to leave, on top of their church door in the sanctuary, it says, "You are now entering the mission field." Folks, when we leave this morning, we will be entering that mission field. Let us go fishing for men. Let us be what Jesus wants His people to be. Let us be what He has called us to do. We read in the book of Acts, in the fourth chapter, we read there how Peter was preaching to the council. But we read how he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, nothing except Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone." But you know, we read in that 13th verse, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Can people tell that we have been with Jesus? I believe, folks, you know, we might not be able to walk with Jesus literally, we can walk with Him spiritually. And folks, I tell you, we need to walk with Him spiritually. You know, we don't only, it's good for us to talk with Jesus, but it's even better when we walk with Jesus. Can people tell that we've been with Him? And you know what? In the 17th chapter of Acts, after Stephen preached to the council there and Stephen was stoned, you know, I tell you what, there was a man that God pricked their heart with the words that Stephen said. Now I want to go on and say this. Stephen was a deacon of the church. He was an ordained deacon. And I want to go on and say this. People say he preached a sermon. We can go on and say that if you want, but I believe that Stephen was bold with the Lord. He was bold for the Lord. And folks, I tell you, not just deacons, but lay members, let us be bold for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and there was a man that pricked his heart, that being by the name of Saul of Tarsus. I believe Saul got saved and then he changed his name to Paul. We read in the 17th chapter of Acts how Paul and Jason, now the apostle Paul and his brother Jason, they were in Thessalonica, and the Bible says that they had caused an uproar there. You know, the council there went, they gathered Paul and Jason, they brought them to the higher marks, I guess,
the people over the city, and they said, Thessalonica, and they said, these are they which have turned the world upside down. Folks, there is an uproar happening in Thessalonica. You know how that uproar came about? They preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know how that uproar came about? They was bold in the Lord. You know how that uproar came about? They followed the Spirit and leadership of God. I tell you what, this little church here that sits on East Place Road in Columbus, Indiana, let's go out here and cause an uproar. Amen. Not in a bad way, but I tell you, let us tell people about Jesus. Amen. And I tell you, with those three men, they said, these are they which have turned the world upside down. Folks, I tell you, this world can be turned upside down. And I tell you, if we be bold and spiritually minded and preach Jesus and Him crucified and nothing else, I believe we can turn the whole state of Indiana upside down before a good cause. Let us go out and fish for men. I'm going to read another place. Then with the Lord's help, I might be done. But in the 63rd chapter, excuse me, the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah was speaking, and he said this, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Was it the book of Psalms says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who has been delivered from the hands of the enemy. Yep. Folks, you've been saved by the grace of God. Let's say so. Let's testify of His goodness. Let's testify of His saving grace. You know, and I tell you what, you know, I know people think that testifying is just telling about your time and place when God saved your soul. And don't get me wrong, that is a testimony for sure. But I remember being in church where my dad pastored at the time, that there was a man that stood up and they said, Brother Barber, I want to thank the Lord for meeting me in the tobacco patch this past weekend. That's testifying too, folks. Let's testify of His goodness, of His saving grace. Let's go fishing for men. I'm done, as my thoughts have left my mind and my heart. But I hope and pray that somebody got something out of this morning. But I pray above all that the Lord was lifted up. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Let us all stand and sing. Let the words just sink into our hearts for a few moments of time.